2023-2024 marked the final year of teaching and conducting at Lehigh University in Bethlehem for award-winning composer Stephen Sametz, R.J. Ulrich Professor of Music, Director of Lehigh Choral Arts, and Artistic Director of the Princeton Singers. Sametz chose as the title of one of his valedictory concerts the title of a lovely, simple song he composed, and he explained to us why.
The whole concert's being titled I Have Had Singing, which is a title of a very small piece of mine, which has gotten kind of worldwide performances. And it also speaks to just the joy of singing. Is a text Ronald Blythe. He was collecting stories from people in England in very rural areas who lived at the turn of the 19th to 20th century before the Industrial Revolution. And the words are from a gentleman in his 80s who would have been born in the 1880s. And he's reflecting on his life in 1960. And he's saying, you know, his life was very hard and he always farmed this very infertile land. And then he'd get up the next day and do the same thing. And he stops in the middle of this description and says, but there was always singing, the boys in the field. Chapels were full of singing, so I have had pleasure enough. I have had singing. And it seems like that was a message that, well, it is a message that it resonates with professional singers, it resonates with amateur singers, and it expresses the joy in singing.
Dr. Stephen Sametz suggesting that the lovely, simple song he composed might just sum up his 45 years of music making at Lehigh. I have had singing, and it's all about the joy of singing, singing with others. We're hearing the Grammy Award-winning vocal ensemble Chanticleer in a performance of I Have Had Singing by Stephen Sametz, and it's probably no coincidence that as Sametz selected this song to capture the essence of his 45 joy-filled years at Lehigh, Chanticleer chose I Have Had Singing to close their album Then and There, Here and Now, marking the ensemble's 40th anniversary. And it is likely not a happenstance that the album builds to a close and ends with I Have Had Singing by Stephen Sametz, again celebrating the joys of singing. Members of Chanticleer and Stephen Sametz have been on the same wavelength, it seems, for decades. And now Chanticleer's new holiday album features a tune by Stephen Sametz. Grammy Award-winning vocal ensemble Chanticleer performing a setting of Angelus Ad Virginem by Stephen Sametz that will be part of a holiday concert at Commonwealth University Bloomsburg this Thursday, December 4th at 7:30 p.m. in Haas Center for the Arts, Mitrani Hall. The performance is part of the Arts in Bloom series, and they will be celebrating their brand new holiday album titled Joy to the World. We had a chance to speak by phone with Tim Keller. Tim Keller is music director of Chanticleer, and we engaged him first about a composer tied to our region who has had a nice long relationship with Chanticleer, and that's Stephen Sametz.
Yes, of course. Oh my gosh, Stephen Sametz is a longtime friend of the ensemble. He has been writing for Chanticleer pretty much since the group started back in 1978. He was really close friends with our founder, Louis Botto, and he has written dozens of pieces for Chanticleer over the years. It feels like every year at some point in the season, a piece by Stephen Sametz ends up on one of our programs. He You know, he's been writing it for us for so long that he really understands the group. Shanika is a very unique ensemble. We've got 12 singers, all a cappella, 6 countertenors, 3 tenors, and 3 basses. And he is one of those people who knows how to write for us better than anyone else, partly because he's been doing it for so long and partly because he's such a talented composer himself.
He's been in our coverage area, and we've been in touch with him over the past decades, even after his retirement from Lehigh. And he'd always be so pleased to mention that you all had recorded another of his pieces. As you know, he has such great respect for the ensemble.
We have a lot of respect for him as well. His music is beautiful, and his arrangement of Angelus ad Virginem, which he's called A Christmas Fanfare, is so much fun to sing and the perfect addition to our holiday album and program.
Stephen gives the singers a real workout. He calls it a fanfare, as you just said. Aren't there some instrumental fanfares that require double tonguing and such? It sounds like that.
That's his edition of the text, his translation, and that's our soloist Logan Shields and Matthew Mazzola on that quick text there. But it sort of fits, I think, with the story. It's just a lot of fun to sing.
It sure sounds like it, and that's the beauty of this album as a whole, because it is so balanced in that way. I wondered if you could talk a little bit about Joy to the World, which gives the album its title. In this beautiful arrangement, there are those moments of dissonance, patches of dissonance. And doesn't that say something real about joy? You can't have joy, perhaps, without recognizing those moments of dismay and darkness as well in the world. Is there something to that?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think you're spot on. That's a great way to put it. Adam Brett Ward is one of our countertenors, and he arranged Joy to the World, which is the title track of the album and the first track on the album. And you're right, it starts maybe not quite like one would expect. It's not immediately joyful. In fact, the first time we hear the melody, it's in a minor key, which is a little surprising. But, you know, there's a couple ways to look at it. One is, as you were just said, you know, you can't experience that joy without something to compare it through to. You know, maybe going through that darkness or the darkest nights of the year around wintertime, around Christmas. And there's something that makes the warmth and the glow and the happy times even more special, you know. And I'd also say that it really just captures this sense of mystery and wonder that surrounds the season, this sort of a nostalgia of the season. Of course, then, as you said there, it's paired with the joy and the exuberance later on in that arrangement and later on in the album, so that you sort of, it takes you on a whole journey from that more introspective world to the more joyful world.
Do you have a particular affinity, you yourself, as an arranger, in this case, of the carols that are traceable to Appalachia? Is that an area of particular interest to you musically?
You know, it really is. And I grew up in Delaware, so it's not, you know, not really Appalachia, but my family is from the Shenandoah Valley. I spent a lot of time in Shenandoah National Park growing up and going on hikes around there, and have always been enamored with the music from that area. And yes, one of the pieces I arranged on the album is called And the Trees Do Moan, which is a folk tune from the Appalachian area. And, you know, this is actually not a tune that I was familiar with growing up. I just discovered it for the first time just 2 years ago. going through a separate arrangement of it, and I just loved the melody so much, and the text is also similarly very, very haunting, and I thought that Chanticleer would do a really nice version of it. It's become one of my favorite carol melodies, and I'm excited to add it to maybe people's repertoire who haven't heard it before.
And it tells the story from start to finish, pretty much, doesn't it? In terms of the story of the child and what the tree comes to ultimately symbolize in that life?
Yes, that's exactly right. It, you know, it starts with the birth in the Valley of Judea as the first line of the text, cold on a cold winter's evening, which, you know, who knows if that was, if it was actually a cold winter day, I'm not sure, but yeah, it tells the story from the birth all the way to the very last phrase is essentially telling us that maybe Jesus was the person picking out the tree for his own cross. It's a very powerful image. And in this case, the text is a Christmas tree, an evergreen one, which is, you know, conflating a few different histories and journeys here. But I think it's a beautiful image, and I'm really excited for people to hear the piece and to listen to the text.
These are wonderful choices, and people should be aware of what's included. And there's not just Good King Wenceslas, as we would know Good King Wenceslas, but Richard Rodgers from Jumbo?
Yes. There's a really sweet mashup of those two pieces on this album of a piece by Richard Rodgers called Little Girl Blue, connected with Good King Wenceslas. And it's an arrangement that our bass baritone Jerry Gravely did. And it gives that, you know, Good King Wenceslas can be kind of it's kind of a jolly, jolly melody. It's like, ha, 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 you know, ho, ho, ho. But this spin on it is much more about the text. It's about sharing, and it's about helping those less fortunate than you. And the way that he's able to weave these two melodies together just creates something very intimate and very special.
Shone the moon that night, though
it works beautifully.
Thank you.
Speaking of Jared and his arranging, we know that with a tune like Joy to the World or Good King Wenceslaus, Silent Night has been recorded so many times, heard so many times. What does Jared bring to Silent Night and you all in singing it that we might not at first glance think we know it all? We know what it's all about.
Yeah, that is one of those pieces that, you know, anybody who listens to Christmas music has heard of some version of Silent Night, you know, a million times over the years. But Jared has certainly added his own unique and really special contribution to the versions of that special piece. Jared has a background in jazz and jazz arranging. But, you know, when you listen to this piece, it's not like vocal jazz. It doesn't sound like that necessarily. It just sounds warm and lush and full, and he's able to bring his background in jazz arranging and make Silent Night feel like just a glow. It just feels like it glows from the beginning to the end because of these extra notes that he has added from his jazz background. I think it's a really special arrangement, and it just feels so natural and warm. That's the word that keeps coming back to me.
Now, we have beautiful speakers here at the radio station, so we can be immersed in this album and be carried away. And you create, through the quality of the recording itself, where you recorded it and the engineering marvel and what you've all been able to do in the space with the music and your voices, there's a spaciousness here that you're creating for us in the recording that does allow the music to breathe and to sort of allow us to come into that space with you. And it adds that dimension of mystery that you talked about, I think, at the beginning, that dimension of mystery, that where are we? And there are larger implications for all of this music, perhaps this season. That depends on who we are and how we interpret it. How do you talk about the spaciousness of this recording and what you're doing here?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's when we take our Christmas concerts on tour in December, they always follow a sort of similar arc, and they always start by candlelight. And in our favorite venues for these concerts are generally cathedrals or churches, places with big acoustics and that lets the sound bloom and grow and gives a sense of like mystery and wonder to the experiences we've talked about. And so that we were really trying to capture that in this album. And so we recorded it actually this past summer at a giant church here in San Francisco called St. Ignatius. And we were recording it, you know, this is a fun story that I like to tell. We were actually recording it like in the middle of the night to reduce noise from traffic outside. So here we are in the middle of July and in the middle of the night, giant church, and we had to turn out most of the lights because lights make noise in the background and can be picked up by the microphone. So we're singing Joy to the World at midnight in July in this giant church in San Francisco. It was like the perfect way to sort of set the scene for the entire rest of the season, honestly. I was like, here we go. We're capturing Christmas here. And I really think that darkness and that wonder and that space comes through, and it comes through in the recording and how it's captured on the album.
Just one more thing then. We started with Joy to the World. That's the title you chose. In every decade, every time we hear music and so forth, we're all stressed. World is hard. Living is hard. And so this is a gift from all of you to all of us, it feels like, in these troubled times.
I love that. I love that sentiment. That is exactly how we feel, what our responsibility is in December. When we tour around and sing concerts and share our music with people, we're ambassadors of joy, and we're really trying to share as much as we can for everybody who needs a little bit of it this time of year.
Tim Keller, music director of the Grammy Award-winning vocal ensemble Chanticleer, speaking about their new holiday album, Joy to the World, on the Delos label, and about their concert tour right up to Christmas time. And one of the stops will be right here in northeastern Pennsylvania. They will present their holiday concert, Joy to the World, at Commonwealth University Bloomsburg this Thursday, December 4th at 7:30 p.m. in Haas Center for the Arts, the Trani Hall. And if you need more information, it's commonwealthu.edu/arts-in-bloom. Chanticleer here at the Commonwealth University, Bloomsburg, this Thursday, December 4th at 7:30 p.m. at Haas Center for the Arts, Matrani Hall. And it is commonwealthu.edu/arts-in-bloom.